Now it's 8:30 and time for Saturday Night Theatre. The play this evening is Scoop, a dramatisation of Evelyn Waugh's famous novel about pre-war journalism. John Rowe plays William Boot in Scoop by Evelyn Waugh, dramatised for radio by Lance Sieverking.
Dear Julia, is this the tiny little car you were telling me about?
Yes. What I like about them is that you can do things with them that you couldn't do with a real one. Like going up onto the pavement when the traffic gets stuck. What is it you want advice about, John? You look desperate.
I want to get away from London.
It's come to that. All on account of your American girl.
Well, mostly.
I warned you before you began. Is she being frightful?
My lips are sealed. But I've got to get away, or else go crazy.
Where are you going?
That's just what I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh, look at that placard. Ishmaelite crisis. Some sort of a war starting up there, isn't there?
Ishmaelia seems to be the place. I was wondering if Algy would send me there as a spy.
Not a chance.
No?
Foregoners. Algy's been sacking 10 spies a day for weeks. It's a grossly overcrowded profession. Why don't you go as a war correspondent?
Could you fix it? Well, after all, Julia Stitch, you're not a cabinet minister's wife for nothing.
I don't see why not. After all, you've been to Patagonia. I should think they'd jump at you. You sure you really want to go?
Quite sure.
Well, I'll see what I can do. I'm meeting that ghastly Lord Copper at lunch today at Margot Metrolands. I'll try and bring the subject up. Won't be difficult. He'll be a bit out of his depth in Margot's house.
You're marvellous, Julia. I love you.
Oh, dear.
But tell me, Lord Copper, what do you really think of the Prime Minister?
As I was saying to Lady Metroland just now, Mrs. Stitch, he's a man who's brought the art of ambiguity to such a point that his colleagues of the cabinet never have the slightest idea what he means, undoubted he has either.
I expect he's all you say, but he's a man of far more taste than you'd suppose. He always sleeps with a boot by his bed.
A boot?
One of John Boot's books. Dear
John Boot, so clever and amusing. I wish I could get him to come and see me more often.
Such a divine style.
Boot, eh? John Boot.
So witty and daring.
No wonder the Prime Minister reads him.
Tell us, Lord Copper, what is going on in Ishmaelia?
Ishmaelia, Mr. Stitch. In my opinion, civil war is quite inevitable.
Such a pity, isn't it, that so few of the famous war correspondents are still about?
Isn't there one called something Hitchcock?
Oh, that fellow. I dispensed with his services a few months ago.
Who will you be sending to Ishmaelia?
I'm in consultation with my editors on the subject. We think it a very promising little war. We propose to give it the fullest publicity.
Will they?
The workings of a great newspaper are of a complexity which the public seldom appreciates. The citizen little realizes the vast machinery put into motion for his morning penny.
Oh, God.
We shall have our naval, military, and air experts, our squad of photographers, our color reporters covering the war from every angle on every front.
Yes, 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 I suppose you will. If I were you, I should send someone like Booth. I don't suppose you could persuade him to go, but someone like him.
It has been my experience, dear Mrs. Stitch, that the Daily Beast can command the talent of the world.
Well, of course, if you could get him, Boot is your man. He's a brilliant writer. He's travelled everywhere and knows the whole Ishmaelite situation inside out.
Boot would be divine, absolutely divine.
So clever, so daring, so witty.
Hello? Who's there?
It's me.
Oh, Julia.
It's okay, John. I think it's fixed. Don't take a penny less than £50 a week.
God bless you, Julia. You've saved my life.
It's just the stitch service.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Definitely, Lord Copper.
Well, then there's this civil war in Ishmaelita. I propose to feature it, Saunder. Who did you think of sending?
Well, Lord Copper, the choice seems between sending a staff reporter who will get the news but whose name the public doesn't know, or to get someone from outside with a name as a military expert. You see, since we lost Hitchcock, we might share one of the Americans?
No. I tell you who I want. Boot.
The Boot?
Yes, Boot. He's a young man whose work I'm very much interested in. He has the most remarkable style, and he's been in Patagonia, and the Prime Minister keeps his books by his bed. Do you read him?
Up to a point, Lord Copper.
Well, get on to him tomorrow. Have him up to see you. Be cordial. Take him out to dinner. Get him at any price. Well, at any reasonable price.
Definitely, Lord Copper.
Right.
It's a terrible fever this morning. Oh, yes.
Yes, it's awful, isn't it?
And look at the sports page.
But what can you expect? Didn't the chief insist on your getting him at any price?
A trick cyclist to edit the sports page.
What did you have to give him?
No, don't. 5 years contract at £5,000 a year.
Oh.
You tell me, Salter, do you like being foreign editor?
It's making me feel my age. I used to enjoy editing a woman's page. This is a dog's life.
Who's Boot?
I know the name.
The chief wants to send him to Ishmaelita. He's the Prime Minister's favourite writer.
Not the chap I was thinking of.
Well, I've got to find him. Boot. 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 Why, Boot. Here he is on the back page. Why didn't the chief say he was a staff man?
Where? Oh, there. Lush Places, edited by William Boot, countryman. Oh, I'd forgotten him.
Do you suppose that's the right one?
Oh, sure of it. The Prime Minister's nuts on rural England.
He's supposed to have a particularly high-class style. Let's have a look at what he's got today. Feather-footed through the plushy fen passes the questing bone. Would that be it?
Oh, yes, that must be good style. At least it doesn't sound like anything else to me. Yes, I know the name well now you mention it. I've never seen the chap. I don't suppose he's ever been to London. He sends his stuff in by post, all written out in pen and ink.
Oh.
We took him on when the chap that used to do Lush Places died. Thicker of some village. This chap Boot lives in the same village.
I've got to ask him to dinner.
Give him cider.
Is that what countrymen like?
Yes. Cider and tinned salmon is the staple diet of the agricultural classes.
I'll send him a telegram. Funny, the chief wanting to send him to Ishmaelita.
Change and decay in all around I see. Tom.
Good morning, Uncle Theodore.
Good morning, my dear Priscilla.
You always sing that, but it's not true, you know.
Eh? What?
Change and decay. There's plenty of decay all round, absolutely nothing in the way of change.
Something in that. But I rather like it, you know. Change and decay. Plenty of decay, all right. What's the matter with William?
Oh, dear. It's all my fault. I found his manuscript for last week's Lush Places lying on the billiards table, and I'm afraid I altered it.
Did you, Bidjo? I never look at the stuff he writes. It's too highfalutin for me.
I couldn't resist it. It was all about badgers, and I went right through it, and wherever it said badger, I altered it to the great crested grebe, and William must have posted it without looking.
Good Lord! Must have made it into nonsense.
Oh, poor William. He's had a lot of frightfully rude letters, and he does take such a lot of trouble.
Morning, William.
Here's another letter. I've already had over 40.
Oh, William, I am sorry. It was beastly of me.
This one's from a woman asking me how I can condone the practice of baiting these rare and beautiful birds with terriers and deliberately destroying their earthly homes.
Oh, dear.
I shall be dismissed by the editor. And it'll be all your fault, Priscilla. Have the papers come?
I don't think so. Oh, yes. There's Bentinck going across the hall with them.
Bentinck? Bentinck, here, wait a minute. Oh, I know they'll have got someone else to do my column.
Ah, is it all right?
Yes, oh, thank goodness, they haven't got someone else after all.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's down there, between the bedtime pets and cooking hints.
Feather-footed through the plushy fen passes the questing bowl.
I forgot this telegram, Mr. William. It came about half an hour ago.
Telegram? Oh.
Nothing serious, I hope.
Yes, I've been called to London.
Have you, my boy? That's interesting. I was thinking of running up to town for a night myself.
What's it say?
There you are.
Request your immediate presence here, urgent, Lord Copper's personal desire, Salter Beast. What does it mean? What is Salter Beast?
Well, I don't know. A beast is the beast, the name of the paper.
Oh, yes, of course. And who is Lord Copper? Do you know him?
No, the paper belongs to him. Why should I go to London? I hate London. Won't be any good explaining to Lord Copper. He'd never believe it.
Oh, I don't know. He might. Worth trying.
You go and bluff it out, William. I expect Lord Copper is only some kind of bounced-up London fella. Probably doesn't know the difference between a badger and a great crested grebe.
That's right, William.
And you get a guinea a time, don't you?
Oh, well, I suppose I shall have to.
You seen that chap, Butchert?
No, I'm expecting him in a minute. They've just run from the hall. How would you start if you were me? What would you talk to him about, you know, to start off with?
Mangled wurzels are a safe topic. Only you mustn't call them that. Farmers are very touchy about them. Call them the roots.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I'll be seeing you.
Glass of Zoidon. Foxes. Plenty of foxes. Come in. Ah, Booth. How are you? Don't think I've had the pleasure before.
Are you Mr. Salter?
That's right. Do come in.
You sent me this telegram?
Yes. Do sit down.
Oh, thanks.
Well, Boot, how are you? Know your work well, of course. Sit down. Sit down. Have a cigarette. Or do you prefer your church warden?
No, I'll have a cigarette, thanks.
How,
what?
How are your boots, Root?
I beg your pardon?
I mean, Brute. How's hunting? Foxes pretty plentiful, eh?
Well, we stop in the summer, you know.
Oh, do you? Everyone away, I suppose.
I expect you want to talk about the great crested grebe.
Good God, no. At least, not unless you do.
Oh, no, not at all. I thought you might want to.
Not at all.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Yes, that's all right. I say, how about some Zoidar?
Zoidar?
Yes, I expect you feel like a drop of Zoidar about this time, don't you?
Well, to tell the truth, I don't often drink cider.
Whiskey, then?
Oh, please.
Ah, there we are.
Make much parsnip wine down your way?
Oh, not much. You're pretty busy, I expect.
Oh, yes, very.
Tell me, I often wondered, do you have a machine of your own or send out to the printers?
We have machines of our own.
Do you? They must work jolly fast.
Yes.
I mean, you have to get it written and printed and corrected and everything all on the same day, otherwise the news would become stale. People would have heard it on the wireless, I mean.
Yes.
Do you do much of the printing yourself?
No. You see, I'm the foreign editor.
Never been abroad myself.
Ah. Would you like to go to Ishmaelia?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all. Well, for one thing, I couldn't afford the fare.
Oh, we would pay the fare.
Oh, really? I call that a bit thick.
What?
I admit I slipped up on the great crested grebe, slipped up badly. As it happened, it was not my fault.
Oh, that's
I
not what I...
I came here prepared to explain, apologise, and if need be, make reparation. I mean, you refused to listen to me. Good God, no, you said when I offered to explain.
Yes, but...
And now you calmly propose to ship me out of the country because of a trifling and, in my opinion, justifiable error.
No,
because
no,
of the proper
no.
thing he is. The mind boggles at the vanity of the man. If he chooses to forget my 18 months devoted and unremitting labour in his service since the vicar died, he is,
Boot.
I admit, entitled to
Boot, old man, you've got this all wrong. With the possible exception of the Prime Minister, you have no more ardent admirer than Lord Copper. He wants you to work for him in Ishmaelia.
Oh. Would he pay my fare back?
Yes, of course.
Oh. Well, that's rather different. Even say, it seems a silly sort of scheme. I mean, how would it look in lush places when I start writing about sandstorms and lions or whatever they have in Ishmaelia? Not lush, I mean.
Oh, no. It's not at all like that, Boot. I'll explain to you all about it at dinner. You'll meet a lot of interesting people when you go to Ishmaelia.
Well, mightn't it be rather dangerous?
Nothing to what you're used to in the country. You'll be surprised to find how far the war correspondents keep from the fighting. Don't think you need worry about risk.
And you'd go on paying my wages?
Certainly.
And my fare there and back and my expenses?
Yes.
No.
No?
No, it's very kind of you, but I think I'd sooner not go. I don't like the idea at all. I must be going to Paddington soon to catch my train.
Listen, I don't think you have fully understood the situation. Lord Copper is particularly interested in your work, and to be frank, he insists on your going. Now, we are willing to pay a very fair salary. £50 a month, as the sum suggested.
£50 a month?
A week! Gosh. And think what you can make on your expenses. I happened to see Hitchcock's expense sheet when he was working for us in Shanghai. He charged £300 for camels alone.
Well, I don't think I should know what to do with a camel.
Take a single example. Supposing you want to have dinner. You go to a restaurant and do yourself proud, best of everything. Bill perhaps maybe £2? Well, you put down £5 for entertainment on your expenses. You've had a slap-up dinner, you're £3 to the good and everyone's satisfied.
But you see, I don't like restaurants. No one pays for dinner at home anywhere. The servants just bring it in. I'm afraid I really must be going. You see, I have a dead return ticket. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll consult my family and let you know in a week or two.
Lord Copper wants you to leave tomorrow.
Oh, I couldn't do that anyway, you know. I mean, I haven't packed or anything. I dare say I should need some new clothes. Oh, no, I mean, that's out of the question.
You might offer a larger salary.
Oh, no, thank you. It isn't that. It's just that I don't want to go.
Is there nothing you want?
Do you know, I don't believe there is. Except to keep my job in lush places and go on living at home.
Ah. Oh, but Lord Copper expects his staff to work wherever the best interests of the paper call them. I don't think he would employ anyone whose loyalty he was doubtful of in any capacity.
You mean if I don't go to Ishmaelia, I get the sack?
Yes, in so many words, that is exactly what what Lord Copper means. Lord Copper will see you tomorrow. Let's go and have dinner.
This is a great pleasure, Mr. Boot. I have wanted to meet you for a long time. It's not often that the Prime Minister and I agree, but we see eye to eye about your style. A very nice little style indeed. You may sit down too, Zolder.
Oh.
Is Mr. Boot all set for this trip?
Up to a point, Lord Copper.
Excellent.
Now, Mr. Boot, there are two invaluable rules for a special correspondent. Travel light and be prepared. Have nothing which, in a case of emergency, you cannot carry in your own hands. But remember that the unexpected always happens. Little things we take for granted at home, like a coil of rope or a sheet of tin, may save your life in the wilds. I should take some cleft sticks with you. I remember Hitchcock, Sir Joseph Hitchcock, a man who used to work for me, saying that in Africa he always sent his dispatches in a cleft stick. It struck me as a very useful tip. Take plenty of cleft sticks, Mr. Book.
Yes, Lord Copper.
With regard to policy, I expect you already have your own views. I never hamper my correspondence in any way. What the British public wants first, last, and all the time is news. Remember that the Patriots are in the right and are going to win. The beast stands by them foursquare, but they must win quickly. The British public has no interest in a war which drags on indecisively. A few sharp victories, some conspicuous acts of personal bravery on the Patriot side, and a colorful entry into the capital. That is the beast policy for the war.
I see.
You'll get there in about 3 weeks. I should spend a day or two looking around and getting the background, then a good full-length dispatch which we can feature with your name. That's everything, I think, Salter?
Definitely, Lord Copper.
Goodbye, Mr. Boot, and the best of luck. We shall expect the first victory about the middle of July.
I don't suppose that after what Lord Copper has said, there's anything more you want to know?
Well, there is one thing. You see, I don't read the papers very much. Can you tell me who's fighting who in Ishmalia?
I think it's the Patriots and the Traitors.
Yes, but which is which?
Oh, I don't know that. That's policy, you see. It's nothing to do with me. You should have asked Lord Copper.
Well, I gather it's between the Reds and the Blacks.
Yes, but it's not quite as easy as that. You see, they're all Negroes, and the fascists won't be called black because of their racial pride, so they are called white after the white Russians. And the Bolshevists want to be called black because of their racial pride. So when you say black, you mean red, and when you mean red, you say white. And when the party who call themselves blacks say traitors, they mean what we call blacks, but what we mean when we say traitors. I really couldn't tell you, but from your point of view, it would be quite simple. Copper only wants patriot victories, and both sides will claim all the victories. But, of course, it's really a war between Russia and Germany and Italy and Japan, who are all against one another on the Patriot side. I hope I make myself plain.
Up to a point.
Well, I see it's nearly 1 o'clock. If you're going to catch the afternoon aeroplane, you ought to be getting on your list.
Yes.
Where shall I get it? I think the, didn't the foreign contacts advisor telephone and make an appointment for you at the stores?
Oh, yes. He gave me a bit of paper with a note on it. I've got it somewhere.
Well, off you go. Goodbye.
Chairs and table, one folding bed,
right,
one collapsible canoe, one jointed flagstaff and union jack,
check,
one hand pump and sterilizing flask,
camp operating table and set of surgical instruments,
check,
one portable humidor, Christmas amber complete with Santa Claus costume,
one tripod mistletoe stand, two canes for whacking snakes.
There ought to be a coil of rope there somewhere and a sheet of tin. Have you seen them? They made a great point of those at the office.
Did they really, Mr. Boot? Well, there they are. And that's very nearly everything.
Case of 3 months' rations and that bundle of sticks on the top there.
Well, the baggage will cost you £103 supplement on your ticket.
Not me. Some of Lord Copper's traveller's checks.
Right, Mr. Boot.
And will you distribute this among the chaps who loaded it up?
Oh, kind. Thank you very much.
moment they recognize an Englishman, they think they can make a monkey of him. That one with Swiss. They're the worst. Try to make me buy mineral water. Water in these carafes is excellent. May I give you some?
Well, no thanks. I prefer wine.
You're interested in claret? I have a little vineyard in Bordeaux. A little hobby of mine.
Oh, I see.
You're surprised at my addressing you.
Not at all.
Oh, but it is surprising. I make a point of never addressing my fellow travelers. Indeed, I usually prefer to dine in the coupe. But this is not our first meeting.
Really?
You were kind enough to give me a place in your aeroplane this afternoon. The service I greatly appreciate.
Oh, not at all, not at all. I'm very glad to be in any help.
It was the act of an Englishman, a fellow Englishman. I hope that one day I shall have the opportunity of requiting it.
Oh, please don't give the matter another thought.
I never do. You're on your way to the Côte d'Azur?
No, only as far as Marseille.
I rejoice in the Côte d'Azur. You're surely not making a long stay in Marseille.
No, I sail tomorrow for East Africa, for Ishmaelia.
Forgive me, I think I must have misheard you. Where are you going?
Ishmaelia. You know, the place where they say there's a war.
Yes, the name is in some way familiar. I must have seen it in the newspapers. Cuthbert!
Stop.
Did you give my sheets to the conductor?
Yes, sir.
See that he has them made up properly. Then you may go to bed. You know the time in the morning?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Good night, sir.
Good night, Cuthbert. A very courageous man, that. He never left my side, so I recommended him for the VC. He never leaves me now. And he is adequately armed.
Oh, really? It's jolly pretty country round here. I've never been in France before.
Oh?
As a matter of fact, I've never flown before.
Oh.
I enjoyed it enormously. I'd always wanted to have a flight.
No?
I observe, monsieur, you are studying the map of Ishmaelia.
Yes. I mean, oui.
Look, it is not rich at all. If it were rich, it would already belong to England. Where do you wish to take it?
But I don't wish to.
Mais alors, there is no oil, there is no tin, no gold, no iron, positively none. What do you want with it?
Well, I'm going as a journalist, but I have no interest in commerce. I'm going to report the war.
War is all commerce.
Anyone mind if I park myself here?
Oh, have you too? Bientôt.
Oh, cool.
Not dressed for this climate, left in a hurry. Not much of a sailor been laying up in my cabin till now. This old tub does roll, doesn't it?
Oi, you! Alphonse! Comprenez a pint of bitter?
You're Boot of the Beast, aren't you? I might run into you. I'm Corker of the UN.
Oh.
Are you fond of La Belle France?
Well, I can't say I've ever been there except to catch this ship.
That's funny thing, neither have I. But tell me, honestly, had you ever heard of Ishmaelia before you were sent on this story?
Only very vaguely.
Oh, nor had I. You know, when I first started in journalism, I used to think that foreign correspondents spent their lives studying international conditions. Bravo, look at us. On Monday afternoon, I was in East Sheen, breaking the news to a widow of her husband's death leap with a champion girl cyclist.
Really?
Yeah. Wrong widow, as it turned out.
No.
Yes. And the next day, the chief has me in and he says, Corker, you're off to Ishmaelia. Out of town job, I asked. East Africa, he says, just like that. Well, what's the story, I asked? Well, he says, a lot of niggers are having a war. Now, I don't see anything in it myself, but the other agencies are sending feature men. How off I rushed at 2 hours' notice. Well, personally, I can't see that foreign stories are ever news. Not real news of the kind UN covers.
Well, forgive me, I'm afraid I know very little about journalism.
What is UN?
No kidding.
No kidding. Have you ever heard of Universal News?
I'm afraid not.
Well, I don't say we're the biggest news agency in the country, but we're certainly the hottest.
But what is a news agency?
Oh, you're having me on.
No.
Well, there are agencies all over the world that never stop sending in news to all the papers. You must have heard of Reuters.
Then why does the beast want to send me? If we all send the same thing, it seems a waste.
Well, there'd soon be a row if we did.
But isn't it very confusing if we all send different news?
Ah, it gives them a choice. All got different policies, you know. And working for a news agency like I do is cutthroat competition. And that's where I envy you working for a paper. You only have to worry about getting your story in time for the first edition. We have to race each other all day long.
But the papers can't use your reports any earlier than ours.
No, but they use the one that comes in first. Now, look at it this way. News is what a chap who doesn't care much about anything wants to read. Now, it's only news until he's read it. After that, it's dead. And, of course, there's colour. A colour is just a lot of bullseye about nothing. It's easy to write and easy to read, but it costs too much in cabling, so we have to go slow on that. See?
I think so. Oh, hello, Corker. I wonder whether you could help me.
What is it?
Well, it's this radiogram which has just come to me on the wireless. It says, opposition splashing frontward speedliest stop Aden reported prepared war-wise flashback beast. Look. I can't understand it.
No?
Well, the only thing that makes any sense is stop Aden.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What do you think I'd better do?
Well, just what they tell you, old boy.
You mean stop at eight? Get off at eight?
If that's what it's telling you.
Oh, I see.
Boots! Oh, sorry, Boots!
Yes, I'm up here!
Got something about you?
Harold, what do you mean?
Oh, just got this radio. It's like a deco.
Cooperating beast, avoid duplication, boot unnatural? What does that mean?
Well, it means our bosses have been getting together in London. The beast is taking our special service on this Ismailian story, so you and I can work together after all.
What's unnatural?
Now, that's our telegraphic name. Oh, by the way, have you still got that cable you had last night?
Yes. Here it is. Shall I tell you what it says?
Opposition splashing. Now, that means that the rival papers are giving a lot of space to this story. Frontward speedliest means go to the front as fast as you can. Stop means full stop. Now, Aden is reported here to be prepared on a wartime footing. And flash facts means send them the details of this preparation at once.
Good heavens, thank you. What an extraordinary thing. When we got to Aden, I should have stopped there. Why didn't you tell me this last night?
Oh, old boy, have some sense. Last night we were competing. It was a great chance leaving you behind. And then the beast would have had to take our stuff. Lava should have bust me pants.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, and while you're working with me, don't go showing service messages to anyone else.
Yes. All right.
Well, goodbye, Margot, dear. I'm rather tired. I think I should go home. Good heavens, it can't be. Why, that's John Bolt over there.
Julia.
John, how very peculiar to see you. I thought you were at the war.
I know, but you see...
I'm just off, my dear. Tell me in three words what happened. The last thing I heard from Lord Copper, he telephoned to say you'd left.
Not a word from him. It's been very awkward.
The American girl?
Yes, exactly. We said goodbye a fortnight ago. She gave me a lucky pig to wear around my neck. It was made of boggart from Tipperary. We were both very genuinely affected. Since then, I haven't dared go out or answer the telephone. I only came to the dance here because I knew she wouldn't be coming.
Poor John. I wonder what went wrong. I like the bit about the pig very much.
Oh. Is this flaming train ever going on again? It's worse than yesterday. Stopping like this in the middle of nowhere for hours and hours.
Oh, it's the sand. The sand in everything. It's blowing up, doesn't it?
Oh, that's nothing to what it was last year. This train up from the coast is completely unpredictable. Sometimes it stops for days. Of course, the only place on the line that is a place, properly speaking, is the terminus, Jacksonburg.
You mean these sort of halts where we've stopped to eat aren't really places?
Oh, no. Just sort of rest houses, not a village within a couple of hundred miles, with most of them.
You'd have thought going across a fiery desert like this, they might have got some ice.
Oh, you don't know the Ishmaelian. Last night, no mosquito nets. Tonight, if we reach the mountains, it'll be cold, and there'll be no blankets.
Except for that chap in the bright uniform. He seems to get the best of everything every time we stop.
I think you two were asleep when they told us the best bit of news.
Oh, what was that?
The luggage van, in some mysterious way, became detached from the rest of the train.
Oh, no. It's got all my equipment in it. How often are the trains between the coast and Jacksonburg?
Once a week.
Look here, Shumble, old man. You've been to this Persian country before. What sort of place is Jacksonburg?
Oh, a sort of collection of Victorian villas and tumble-down shacks with corrugated iron roofs.
Is there anywhere to stay?
Well, most people stay at the Hotel Liberty, but I imagine we shall find that jam-packed. There are one or two others, but I forget their names. They're all filthy.
Say, could you tell us something about Ishmaelia?
Yes, do, old man. I didn't have time to get a book or anything.
Well, as we may be here for hours, before they can start the engine again, I will give you a brief outline of the history of Ishmaelia. About 50 years ago, various Europeans came to Ishmaelia with cuckoo clocks, phonographs, draft treaties, and flags. They came as missionaries, ambassadors, tradesmen, prospectors, or natural scientists. None returned.
Really? None?
None. They were eaten, every one of them. Some raw, others stewed or seasoned according to local usage and the calendar.
The calendar?
Well, you see, the better sort of Ishmaelites have been Christians for many centuries, and they will not publicly eat human flesh, uncooked. In Lent, without special and costly dispensation from their bishop.
They're all black, aren't they? I mean, all the lot of them.
Yes, some of the tribes are blacker than others. And one lot looks sort of dark blue.
And what sort of government is there? Is there a king and all that sort of thing?
Oh, no, no king. It's a republic of a kind. Various European powers agreed to guarantee its immunity for two excellent reasons. One, the primitive expeditions were useless and expensive. And two, there's absolutely nothing worth having in the length and breadth of the territory.
That I can well believe.
That sounded like the engine.
It was.
How many different tribes are there?
About 20, I think. They all have different languages and absolutely no sort of connection with each other. So this conference, set in the Hague, I believe, made up a constitution for them with all the parliamentary stuff and voting and religious liberty, habeas corpus, free trade and joint stock banking and numerous other agreeable features.
That's beautiful, beautiful. And who runs all this?
A pious old darkie called Mr. Samuel Smiles Jackson from Alabama was put in as the first president, and his son, Pankhurst Jackson, succeeded him, followed by his son, Rathbone Jackson, and all the chief posts of state are held by uncles and brothers.
All named Jackson?
Yes.
Oh, I suppose that's why the capital's called Jacksonburg. Do they have elections?
Of a kind. The result is always the same. The Jacksons are really very popular.
What wouldn't I give for a pint of ice lager?
Hello there, Swelper.
What? Old Welper of the Grove?
So it is.
Hello, Shumble Elcock. Thought you'd be on this train.
Hello.
And young Corker.
Hello, Welper.
Your name's posted to collect facilities at the radio station. What sort of trip?
Lousy. How are things here?
Lousy. Who's that with you?
Oh, it's Boot of the Bees.
Ah, pleased to meet you, Boot.
Hello.
Who's here already?
All the old bunch. And there's a highbrow yid from Tuppence, but we don't count him.
No, no competition there.
Yeah, the Tuppence isn't what you'd really call a newspaper, is it? Still, there's enough to make things busy and more coming. They seem to have gone crazy about this story at home. Jakes is urgenting 800 words a day.
Jakes here? Well, there must be something in it. Well, where do we stay? Hotel Liberty any good?
Another chance, I should say. The last two rooms were taken by 9 Frenchies and 5 Germans last week. And the top floor is stiff with Yanks. I have a room about 4 inches square, and you're all welcome to lie on the floor tonight.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'll wait till you see it before you thank me. And you'll have to get something else tomorrow.
You boys, bring that stuff up after us.
I gather Hitchcock's here.
Oh, yes, here somewhere. But he's gone off. He's onto something. I tried his door, it was locked. Ah, here we are. You can pile that stuff in the corner. Why, look who's here.
My good friends, you are all good friends of the good welfare.
This, brothers, is Erik Olafsson, the Swedish resident correspondent to Scandinavian papers.
Yes.
Swedish vice consul.
Also head surgeon of Swedish Mission Hospital.
And proprietor of the Tea, Bible and Chemist Shop, which is the center of European life in Jacksonburg.
Moth, please. Moth, proud. Your name, first, please.
I'm Shumble.
Shumble, so good.
I'm Corker.
Oh, good. Corker, so.
My name's Boot. I'm Boot of the Beast.
Ah. Boat, beast, boat, very good. I come, my dear, for as you ask me.
Yeah, that's right, Alison. Have a drink. Wait till I get some glasses.
For me, coffee, please.
Yes, I forgot. You're on the wagon, old man.
These things must not be intemperate. If we take alcohol much, we are terrible.
Wouldn't want you to be terrible, would we, boys?
Wouldn't want to.
Park yourselves round somewhere. Sit on your bags. I'll find the glasses.
Mr. Pig thinks Sir Hitchcock have fallen fascist headquarters.
Wouldn't put it past him. Whenever that man disappears, you can be sure that a big story is going to break.
Did you say fascist headquarters?
Yes. There's a chap called Mr. Smiles Soom. He's only one quarter Jackson, but he's as black as your hat like the rest of them. Three quarters pure Ishmaelite.
Oh. Well, is he the other side from the Patriots? So is he the leader of the rebels?
No, I wouldn't get much for his chances if Dr. Benito really gets going.
Who's he?
Dr. Benito, my dear Boot, is the director of the press bureau. From our point of view, the most important man in Ishmaelia. You and young Corker here will have to go down there tomorrow to get your permits.
What sort of bloke is this, Benito?
Creepy. Positively creepy. You know, got a posh, high white-collar jewels and all that. You've got to keep your wits about you with him.
I've been told to go to the front.
That's what we all want to do. But in the first place, there isn't any front. And in the second place, we couldn't get to it if there was.
Why?
You can't move outside the town without a permit. And you can't get a permit.
But I thought you said... Well, isn't that what you get from this chap Benito, the press bureau?
No, that's only a sort of registration so that you can stay here.
Well, then what are you sending?
Colour stuff. Preparations in threatened capitals.
Soldiers of fortune, mystery men, foreign influences, volunteers, and...
That's it. There isn't any hard news.
Yeah, but this fascist headquarters, what about that?
That is up country, somewhere in the mountains, never knows.
They're going to attack when the rain stops in about 10 days.
Aha!
You can't get a word out of the government. They won't admit there is a crisis.
What? Not with Jason Hitchcock here?
They probably don't read the papers much.
What's the president like, anyway?
Oh, just a silly old coon with a benevolent smile and a lot of curly white hair.
You know, I have to telegraph to my newspapers in Scandinavia. Will you not please tell me what your news is? I tell you when mine are here.
I don't know anything, Erik.
I thought you'd tell me you talked with Jake's boy.
Taliagong? I did. But he knew nothing except that Monsieur Giraud was on the train.
Who's Giraud?
He's that railway official in bright uniform. He's a Swiss, I think.
He went down to the coast last week to see his wife off to Europe.
That's right. That was the panic-stricken refugees story.
How are the French chaps doing?
Oh, they spend their time holding indignation meetings.
They always do. Everywhere.
The rain in this country is terrible. Terrible! It's ruining my murder bicycle. I must go.
Is that my toothbrush you're using?
Oh, no. Have you got a white handle?
Yes.
Oh, then I am. Silly mistake to make. Mine's green.
But as I was saying, we've got to make friends in this town. Get ourselves a good black boy from the mission, like all the other chaps do.
Yes, that's what I gather. Well, apparently these boys can turn their hand to anything.
Oh, yeah, I should say. They have to report their master's doings morning and evening to the secret police. And steal copies of their master's cables for Jakes and Hitchcock and anyone else with a nice big expense account.
Well, couldn't we get one of those taxis or whatever they are out there and go somewhere?
Bright idea. Come on.
Let's go to the station and ask about the luggage.
Yeah. Station? Understand? Station, puff, puff.
All right, yes, yes, very quick.
This is the fourth wrong place he's brought us to. The station isn't anywhere near here.
Kidnapped. That's what's happened to us. What a story. Hey, this isn't a station, you baboon.
Yes, all right, all right.
Hey, look, it's the British consulate. We may as well get in.
True, we may as well. Come on.
Come in here, won't you?
Yeah. Let me have a look at your passports, please.
Passports? Oh, yes. There's mine.
Mm-hmm. You've come to register, I suppose. There's a stamp as well. Let me see. Cecil Corker. And here's my passport.
By God! You're old Dobbin! Luke, what the hell are you doing here?
I'm supposed to be a journalist.
Oh, God, how funny.
Come to dinner.
Yes.
Tonight?
Yes.
Grand. That'll cost you 14 shekels.
Oh, right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Luke.
He might have asked me, too. Just the kind of contact I could do with. Known him long?
We were at school together.
One of them posh colleges, I suppose, like Eton.
No, Harrow, actually. Let's go to the station now.
Yeah. Station! Puff, puff! Go to the station, you black bum!
Yes, mister, yes. All right, all right, all right.
What a hope. What did I tell you?
Well, I'm blowed back at the hotel. Here, what's that old man want? Seems to be trying to attract our attention.
Oh, I've seen him before. He's a messenger from the wireless office. Look, he's got a handful of telegrams. Now, none of these chaps can read, and this one's dumb as well.
Then how do they manage?
Hey, you! Oi, come here! Well, they just walk them around until they're clean.
Oh. Well, let's see if there's one for either of us.
Yeah, I'll take charge of all these, and there's something for yourself, Sambo. Right, one for you, one for me, and one for everyone in the bunch. Now let's have a look at the others.
Oh, surely.
That's all in a good cause, old boy. Here's Texas. London Echo reports Russian envoy organiser arrives Saturday, disguised railway official stop. Moscow denies stop, denial confirmed with details.
Good Lord. Who's Echo?
That's Hitchcock, laddie. Yes, he is. Here we are. Yeah. World Scoop, congratulations, continue. Echo. Now do you see?
Oh, I think so. It's that nasty bit of work with the beard and the bright uniform on the train. But he is a railway employee.
Yeah, of course he is. But what good does that do us? Now, we've got to find a red agent or Boyle.
Or explain the mistake.
It'd be too easy if every time a chap got a scoop, the rest of the bunch denied it. Very pretty idea. I wish I'd thought of it myself.
Isn't that Jake's over there?
Oh, yes. I better go over and get him in.
What did he say?
He's going to kill the story and put it round among the boys.
Oh, I see. Then I'd better get down to that cable office. Have some more port.
Oh, thanks, Moak.
So, what message did you send?
Well, I've got a copy of it here somewhere. Yeah, there you are.
Mm-hmm. All rot about Bolshevik. His only ticket collector, ass called Hitchcock, thought his beard false. But it's perfectly all right, really. We'll cable again if there's any news. Very wet here. Yours, William Boot. It's a nice chatty cable.
It's the first one I've ever sent.
I say, do you know this country well? How long have you been here?
Oh, long enough.
2 years.
Well, there's a French chap on the ship I came in who kept saying that there's no oil and no minerals in Ishmaelia, and what did I want there anyway?
Well, no one knows if it's got any minerals because the country's never been surveyed at all. The map's a complete joke. Look, there's a map on the wall over there. Now, you see that place, Lacou?
Uh-huh.
It's marked as a town of 5,000 inhabitants, 50 miles north of Jacksonburg. Well, there's never been such a place. Lacou's the Ishmaelite, but I don't know. When the Boundary Commission was trying to get through to the Sudan in 1898, they asked one of their boys the name of the hill, and he said Lacou. So they've copied it from map to map ever since.
How silly.
President Jackson likes the country to look important, so he had Lacou marked good and large.
Oh.
You know, you can't think how all you newspaper chaps coming here added to my work. The FO's worrying the life out of the minister.
But isn't there going to be a war?
Oh, wish we knew. There is something rather odd going on. That's why I was interested in that cable you sent.
Well, I'd be awfully glad if you could tell me anything.
Well, from what the minister said to me today, I rather think he'd welcome a little publicity on the subject. There is a Russian here, name of Smerdyakov, a Jew, straight from Moscow.
Oh, then it is true.
Yeah, he didn't come disguised as a ticket collector, of course. He's been here some time. In fact, he came out by the same train as Hitchcock. But he's lying low, living with Benito, the Ishmaelite Minister of Propaganda. Very nasty, smooth piece of work. We don't quite know what he's up to. Whatever it is, it doesn't suit HMG's book.
I say, that's marvellous. Thanks awfully, Moke.
Well, if you want a really interesting story, I should look into him.
Now, that's something like a story, isn't it?
Oh, I might have known.
But don't you see, this really is news. And we've got the legation behind us.
That story's dead.
But Hitchcock had it all wrong. Now we've got the truth. It may make a serious difference in Europe.
Now, go to bed. There's a good chap. No one's going to print your story now. Russian agents are off the menu, old boy. I grant you it's a pity. The false beard was a very pretty touch. Well, do turn out the light.
Mr. Jackson, see journalist Corbyle himself.
Well.
Yeah, what did I tell you? No respect for the press, savages.
My telegram says, presume your step-taking ensures service event general upbrief.
Yeah, no good answering. I won't send till tomorrow morning. There's no point in answering anyway. Look at mine.
Huh?
Yeah, look, just take a look at this old boy.
Cable Fullier Offner Promptlier stop. Your service badly beaten all round. Lacking human interest, colour, drama, personality, humour, information, romance, vitality.
Yeah, can't say that's not frank, can you? God rot them.
Good morning, dear colleague.
Oh, so
you are comfortable here at Liberty Hotel, yes? No?
No.
I suppose not. Too many people, too many colleagues.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Olafson, who's that bird who came into your shop yesterday?
Bird? I don't see a bird.
A woman.
Oh.
Yeah, a white woman.
Oh, yeah.
A girl. Very wet. Red Macintosh.
Oh.
Dirty boots. Golden hair. Rather pretty. Bit of a garbo type, who was she?
Oh, she is a German young lady.
Oh.
She had a husband, but I think she is alone now. I do not think she knows where he went. Perhaps he will not come back.
Oh, I see. Well, abandoned blonde bewails kind of angle.
She lives at the German pension of this Frau Dressler. She came to my shop for some medicine.
Yeah, looks as though she needed it. Well, we're off to the station to see if that luggage has turned up.
So there's a special train this evening. 20 more journalists are arriving.
Oh, good.
Oh, no. Oh, for me, it is a pleasure to meet so many distinguished confrères. It is a great honor to work with them.
Yeah. Well, perhaps that van will turn up. Mm. But where are you going to put all that clobber you brought is a bit of a problem.
Well, I'll tell you what, Corker. It's too damned uncomfortable here. I'm going to move.
Oh.
I shall go to that German pension if Frau Watson can have me.
Bad policy. Old boy, you're loose touch. Bad policy.
I really must. I mean, that room smells awful.
Well, if you must go.
Bitte, please, may I have mein Dings?
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, please, let me help.
Dankeschön. This was my room.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Frau Dressler moved you.
It is no matter. I have not for weeks my rent paid.
Oh, dear.
My things are not many. Some clothes I take.
Ah.
Good Lord! What's in this leather bag? I can hardly lift it.
It is stones. Look. The specimen of my husband. They are important. He wants me to be very careful of them. He digs them up. They have much value.
Oh, well. Where to?
I have a little room by the kitchen. Up a ladder.
Would you like to leave them here?
Oh, how kind. That is what I hoped. But I saw not much hope. They said you were a journalist.
And so I am.
Oh.
Did you want to move?
Mach nicht. I do not want a big room now I'm alone.
Well, which is your other stuff?
One is this old valise. It is all I have. Not like you. You have so many boxes and packing cases. Bundles.
It does look a lot, doesn't it?
What are these sticks cut in the middle?
Oh, they're for sending messages.
You're teasing me. Oh, dear. It is so long since I have laughed, and now it hurts me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Never mind. What is this?
Oh, a canoe.
Now I know that you are teasing me.
No, honestly, it is. It's a canoe. Look, I'll show you. Wait till I get the lid open. There. Look. I suppose you fit this canvas over these hoops.
It is a tent.
No, a canoe, look.
It is a canoe. Now I will believe everything you tell me. Look, these are little seats.
Mm.
Oh, get in, quick. We must get in.
There's not much room.
But it's beautiful and so new. Oh, I have not seen something so new since I came to this country. Can you swim?
Yes.
So can I. I swim very well. So it will not matter if we are overput, upset. Keep up. Give me one of the message sticks and I will row you.
Right. There we go.
Do I intrude?
Oh, dear.
We were just trying the canoe.
Yeah, so I see. Whimsical. How about trying the mistletoe?
This is Mr. Corker, a fellow journalist.
Yeah, yeah. I see he is. I must be going away. Auf Wiedersehen.
Oh. Yeah. Not bad, old boy. Not bad at all. I will say you're a quick worker.
Go. Rot.
Yeah, I'm sorry to barge in on a tender scene, but there's trouble afoot. Hitchcock's done it again. His story's broken. He's at the fastest headquarters scoop in the world.
Where?
A town called Laku.
But he can't be. Bannister told me there's no such place.
Well, there is now, old boy. At this very moment, it's bang across the front page of the Daily Brute. And it's where we're all going, or know the reason why. So, you better come along with me. Toot sweet. And the tooter, the sweeter.
Did you call me a scab?
I did not, but I will.
You will?
Sure, you're a scab. Now what?
Now, where the
Dr. Benito has consented to meet us here in a few minutes.
Gentlemen, I will speak first in English. And after that, in French. I have a communication to make on the part of the president. If a journalist has left Jacksonville for the interior, it is without the government's consent or knowledge. However, the president has decided to relax the restrictions he has hitherto made. Those wishing to do so may travel to the interior. They must, however, first apply formally to my bureau, where the necessary passes will be issued and steps taken for their protection. That is all, gentlemen. Monsieur le Président m'a commandé à dire qu'il réserve absolument le droit.
A triumph for the power of the press, old boy. They caved in at once. Well, you sound a bit doubtful, old boy.
Yes.
Well, we better get our messages off.
What are you saying?
Permission granted, Laku Ward. What's yours?
They've given us permission to go to Laku and everyone is going, but there's no such place. Am I to go too? Sorry to be a bore. Boot.
Oh, very nice. What do I call snappy? Oh, good Lord, look out there. It's those movie Sam News lot. They got hold of a lorry already. That's quick work.
What's your name?
William.
Mine is Karchin. What do you think is the value of my husband's specimens?
Oh, I'm afraid I've no idea.
10 English pounds?
Oh, I dare say.
More? 20?
Well, possibly.
Then I will sell them to you. It is because I like you. Will you give me 20 pounds for them?
Well, you know, I've got a great deal of luggage already.
Oh, you have made me so glad. Please, you will give me the money now?
You in there, boy?
Oh, there you are.
This has just come.
Oh, thanks, Corker. Unproceed lack award, stop agencies covering Patriotic Front.
What does it mean?
I'm to stay in Jacksonburg.
Oh, I am pleased.
Well, that lets you out, old boy. The whole place is an uproar. Anything on wheels has been hired, and so have all the able-bodied men and boys. There's not a tin of anything left in the bazaar.
Oh, have you got hold of something?
Yes, I'm sharing a lorry with Shumble and Pig and Welper. Well, take care of yourself, laddie. Bye-bye, Boots. See you again one day.
Bye, Corker.
Goodbye, Garber.
Have a drink, Mr. Olafson. Have some absinthe.
Do, Mr. Olafson. It is delicious.
Thank you. From grenadine, not alcohol. That is dangerous. It was so when I killed my grandfather.
Killed your grandfather?
Oh, that is why I came to live in Jacksonburg. When I was young, I was often drunk. No, it is only one or two times in the year.
Oh.
But always I do something I'm very sorry for. I'm sad now. It is so quiet in Jacksonburg with all the newspaper colleagues gone off to the mountains.
Catchin and I like it better now. So peaceful.
It is very long since I was drunk. But I feel it will be soon again. Perhaps when I get back...
Where are you going?
Oh, I have to go down the line to organize the hospital. Dr. Benito says there is an outbreak of plague.
Really?
I do not believe it, but I must go and see.
What shall we do today, William? Shall we open all your boxes and crates?
Oh, if you like. That'd be rather fun, wouldn't it? Do you know, I've never seen some of the stuff.
Listen to this. Oh, just listen to this. Please don't worry. Quite safe and well. In fact, rather enjoying things. Weather improving. We'll cable again if there is any news. Your old boot.
Weather improving. He's been in Jacksonburg for 10 days and all he can tell us is the weather's improving.
I have got to have a first leader on the Ishmaelite question. And what have I got to go on? What are special correspondents for?
How many times have we cabled, Booth?
Daily, for the first 3 days, then twice a day. I thought he'd been murdered, but the British legation at Jacksonburg said he was still alive. We cabled 3 times yesterday, and in the last message, we actually mentioned Lord Copper's name.
I never really felt that Booth was really suited to the job, but he's all we've got. Perhaps we'd better sack him. What do you think?
Well... up to a point.
What are all those letters?
Oh, there are a lot of cables that were waiting for me at the Liberty Hotel. They didn't send them on.
What are they all about?
They don't seem very pleased with me in London.
Let me look. Lord Copper himself... gravely dissatisfied. Lord Copper personally requires victories? What is Lord Copper?
You may well ask. There's a better one than that. Pass him over. On receipt of this, cable Victory. Continue cabling Victories until further notice.
Poor William. I will get you some news. Mr. Jeggs, the American, paid $50 a week. Will you pay me like that?
Yes. Do you really think you can get me some news, Ketchum?
But of course. The man who used to cut my hair shaves the Minister of the Interior, Mr. Roosevelt Washington Jackson. He would know a great deal.
All right. See what you can do.
William, am I not a secretary? Here is another cable for you.
Oh, let's have a look.
Have you written all the news the barber told me?
Yes. Yeah, it'll be the very first news I've sent. Listen. Nothing much has happened except to the president, who's been imprisoned in his own palace by revolutionary junta headed by a superior black called Benito and Russian Jew who Bannister says is up to no good. They say he's drunk when his children try to see him. But governess says most unusual. Lovely spring weather, bubonic plague raging.
Lovely, lovely. Now, what is in the new cable?
Oh. It says, your contract terminated, accept stipulated month's notice and acknowledge. Well, that's that.
I do not understand.
Sack received safely. Thought I might as well send this all the same.
What is that?
It means, dear Catchin, that I shall have to go back to England.
Oh. What shall I do?
Come with me.
I cannot. My husband may return.
Mr. Boat, please come down with me. One of my assistants is waiting in a car to take you on a little tour in the mountain.
I told you I could not go.
I hope you will change your mind.
Well, I shan't.
Oh, by the way, Miss Ketchum asked me to collect some luggage for her.
What do you mean? Where is she?
We have arrested her.
What?
A temporary measure, Mr. Boot. She is well looked after. Now, please give me her parcel of geological specimens that she left in your room.
They are my property.
So I understand. You paid 100 American dollars for them. Here is the money.
They
are the property of the government, and we very much wish to examine these specimens.
Well, you can what?
They were collected by a foreigner without the formality of a prospecting license.
Get out.
Your friend, Miss Ketchum, will be very sorry.
Get out!
Very well. You will hear of this matter again.
Get out! Yes, they want to get you out of the way. They don't want any journalists in Jacksonburg when the fun starts. Do you know, they even told that Swede Olofsson there was cholera down the line.
Bubonic plague?
Some lie, anyway. I'm in communication with our agent down there by telephone. Everyone's as fit as a flea.
Good Lord.
Now, where are these stones you want me to look after?
Oh.
Let's have a look, eh?
Yes, here we are. Yes, yes.
Just as I expected. Gold ore.
Really?
Well, the mountains of the West are stiff with it. There are two countries after the mineral concession. Germany and Russia. We learned only a day or two ago that the Russians had bought Benito and the Young Ishmaelite Party. I'm sorry. Jacksons were a pack of rogues, but they suited the country and they suited HMG. We stand to lose quite a lot if they start a Soviet state here. Well, now you stop being a journalist, I can tell you these things.
Well, as a matter of fact, I've just become a journalist again. This cable came this afternoon.
Look. Congratulations, story contract unterminated, up follow fullest, speediest.
I see.
Do you mind if I cable this to the Beast?
Well, don't let on you got it from me.
Oh, of course not.
As a matter of fact, a newspaper campaign at the moment might just do the trick.
And there's another thing. Can you help me get a girlfriend out of Jug?
Oh, you can buy her out for a fiver if you go the right way about it.
Oh, good. Well, I must get this cable off tonight.
Well, that'll cost you a really big bribe. To get it through without Benito seeing it.
Oh, I've got plenty of money left. Goodbye, Moke. Thanks awfully.
Bye.
Words from Boot.
Is it any good?
And look at it.
Russian plot. Coup d'etat. Overthrew constitutional government. Red dictatorship. Imprison blonde. Vital British interests. Jeopardy.
But that's news. Stop the machines at Manchester and Glasgow. Clear the line to Belfast and Paris and scrap the whole front page. Kill the ex-beauty queen's proper funeral and get in a photograph of Boot.
I don't suppose we've got a photograph of Boot in the office.
Well, ring up his relatives and find his best girl.
They took one for his passport. Extremely poor likeness.
I don't care if that looks like a baboon.
Just how it does look.
Give it two columns, Jeff. This is the first front page foreign news we've had for a month.
Very extraordinary. What made Lord Copper spot Boot? Huh? It's a sixth sense. Real genius.
William!
Darling! Darling!
Darling! Have you got any money with you?
Yes.
A lot?
Yes.
I promised the driver 100 American dollars. Was it too much?
Well...
He is a Postmaster General's chauffeur. They have arrested the Postmaster General. He was a Jackson. All the Jacksons are being arrested.
I know.
And William... Are you glad? My husband has come back for me.
Glad? What do you mean, darling? Of course I'm not glad. Where is he? When did he come?
He's in the motor car. He's very tired, very hungry, and very dirty.
Oh, Kat, no, darling.
And William, you will help us to get away, because he's in the German company and Benito is in the Russian company. They will kill him.
Oh.
Quick, William. You get the money... Oh, and will you give me the tinned Christmas dinner for four children? As a canoe? A boat, you know. Oh, William, give me the canoe. We must sail down the river. We cannot go on the railway. Oh, William, William. Dear William, please.
Oh, yes, Captain, yes, all right. Come and help me carry them down.
Look! The airplane has dropped something.
It's a parachute. Look, it's opening.
It's a man coming down. But come, William, come quickly. We must not wait.
Oh, hello. Was that you on the parachute?
Why, it's my benefactor, the journalist. How agreeable to meet a fellow Britisher in this remote spot. Where are your colleagues? I anticipated being vexed by them.
They all went off days ago into the mountains to look for the fascist headquarters.
This is excellent. You will be the sole spectator at the last act of our little drama.
It won't be much help. They've shut the wireless bureau.
No matter. My man Cuthbert has fixed up a little private wireless transmitter.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. Thank you so much. Have you been here before?
I have a little pied-à-terre here. Will you not share the adventure of lunching with me?
Thank you.
God bless my soul, there's another of those police vans.
Yes, full of chaps with machine guns. And that old negro in the middle was Mr. Earl Russell Jackson.
I ought to have come yesterday. It would have saved a great deal of reorganization.
Oh?
I trust that the little mystery of the situation is now perfectly clear to you?
Well, no, not exactly.
Well, it's all very simple. There has been competition for the mineral rights of Ishmaelir, which I might say as their owner have been preposterously overvalued. In particular, the German and Russian governments were willing to pay extravagantly, but in kind. I was fortunately placed in being able to offer President Jackson gold for his gold concession. And my rivals found themselves faced by the alternative of upsetting the Jackson regime. The Germans chose a native of low character named Smiles as protective dictator. The Russians, more astutely, purchased the young Ishmaelite party headed by Dr. Manito. And they are, as you see, momentarily in the ascendant.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm sure Mr. Salter and Lord Copper will be very grateful.
Bird amazed! Got lost! Brought sleep!
He's a Swede called Olafson. I think he's drunk.
This may be exactly what I require. Does he become more or less pugnacious with drink?
More, I believe.
He looks enormously strong. Pray, introduce me.
Hello, Mr. Olafson.
Ah, good, my friend.
How do you do, Mr. Olafson? I have a great admiration for Sweden.
I have been made a fool by a lot of blacks. Hundreds of miles I have ridden on my motorbike to an epidemic, and I was laughed at. But I am going to tell the president. He is a good old man, and he will punish them.
Do you like vodka, Mr. Olafson?
I like vodka very much. Have you some?
Yes, plenty. Very strong vodka. I shall be honored if you will join me.
Very strong. That is what I need. I'm feeling like when I killed my grandfather.
Come then. It is not far, and then we will go and see the president. Two whole bottles of vodka. Now that man is like a rhinoceros. He is terrifying. I thought it was better that he went alone. From here, we shall be able to see without being seen.
Why, that's Dr. Benito speechifying on the balcony, isn't it?
Yes. The palace looks more Victorian than ever lit up like this. These Ishmaelites are very fond of oratory. Just the human voice, no matter what the subject.
What's he saying?
He's proclaimed the abolition of Sunday, and he's calling for volunteers for a 10-day, 10-hour week.
Hey, look there. In that ground floor window lit up. It's Olafson. He's pulling the curtains down.
Wonderful.
Look at those enormous vases he's knocked off the chimney piece.
Benito thinks that applause was for him. Ha ha! This is splendid. Oh, look at your Swedish Samson. Can you see? He's brandishing a chair over his head.
Where's he gone?
I should think up the stairs.
Oh, yes, yes. Here he comes, in behind the man on the balcony.
They've seen him. Oh, I'm glad I'm not on that balcony. Oh, this is magnificent. Oh, but they've taken fright. They're going to jump off the balcony. Oh, but there goes one. Right down onto the crowd underneath.
And now, three more. Oh, goodness, they'll break their necks.
Oh, look, he's swinging the chair. One, two, three. Smash right onto Benito's head.
I'd like to have done that myself. What was that he said?
He says he's looking for his friend, President Jackson. I think we may be satisfied that the counter-revolution has triumphed. I see you have begun to write your message.
Yes.
Cuthbert will look after you. Give him anything you want sent to your paper. May I see?
Yeah, of course.
Press collect urgent. Man called Baldwin has bought the country. No, if you would not resent my cooperation, I think I can compose a dispatch more likely to please my good friend Copper.
Oh, thank you.
Let me see. Yes. It will make about five full columns. I'm afraid we're too late for tomorrow's paper, but there is no competition to fear.
I say, thanks awfully. I mean, thanks very much indeed. Let's see what you've written. Mystery financier recalled exploits Rhodes Lawrence today, securing vast East African concession, British interests in teeth, armed opposition, Bolshevists, spies.
But it's wonderful. You've done three whole pages. Oh, I wish I could type as fast as that.
Ah, Solder. Come in.
You sent for me, Lord Copper?
Yes. A relation of Lady Copper's has made an inquiry about cows.
Cows, Lord Copper?
Don't we keep a man to write about the country?
Oh, that was Boot, Lord Copper.
Well, have him come and see me.
We sent him to Africa.
Well, have him back. What's he doing there? Who's standing?
It was Boot who brought off the great story about Ishmael Lear when we scooped Hitchcock.
Ah, yes. Smart fellow, Boot. He was the right man for the job.
It was you who discovered him, Lord Copper?
Of course. Naturally. Had my eye on him for some time. I have a very good mind to give him a knighthood.
It will mean an increase of salary, eh?
He shall have it. And he shall have a banquet. Send my social secretary to me. I'll make the arrangements at once.
I'm so glad you managed to come down this weekend, Julia. Oh, I adore your house parties, Margot. Algy was very disappointed, but the cabinet has a special meeting, so he couldn't manage it.
Oh, what a pity. But I see a friend of yours has just arrived, John Boot.
How do, Lady Metroland? How lovely to be down here again.
Hello, Mr. Boot. How nice to see you again. I'll be back in a minute.
Hello, Julia.
Hello, John. Still in England?
What do you think? They're making me a knight.
Who are?
The King and the Prime Minister. You know, a real knight. Sir John Boot, I mean.
Well.
It is your doing, isn't it, Julia?
Well, I hardly know what to say, John. Are you pleased about it?
It's hard to say yet. I'm taken by surprise, but I think I am. In fact, I know I am. I can't think of it. I'm very pleased indeed.
Good. I'm very pleased too. I suppose I did have something to do with it.
Darling Julia, it was angelic of you. But why?
Just the stitch service. I felt you'd been disappointed about that job on the newspaper.
I was.
And I've been very worried about you and that American girl.
Collie, I simply must get away.
Hello, William. Train late?
I don't think so.
Oh. We got your telegram.
Yes?
Had a good time?
Oh, fairly.
Oh, that stuff about you in the paper this morning was a bit, what shall I say?
Nothing, I hope.
Did you really write all that?
No, of course not.
I did rather wonder. Do they want you to go anywhere else?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go anyway. Another paper, you know, the Daily Brute, offered me a 5-year contract.
Oh? How much?
5,000 a year.
No. Are you taking it?
Not me. What would I do with all that?
I know what I could.
And they want me to go up to London to a banquet.
Yes?
I'll write and refuse.
A banquet. It's years and years since I was at a banquet. I wish I could go instead of you.
Well, I've heard from Boot.
Any good?
No, I never knew such a chap. He thanks Lord Copper for the invitation, but says he's too busy at home to come to a banquet.
Yeah, I wish I dared see things like that.
Oh, dear, it couldn't be worse.
It could, Salter. In fact, it is much worse.
Eh?
There are two Boots. Our one is called William. It's his cousin John Boot who's been knighted.
No.
Yes, and I've been on to number 10, but it's too late.
But Lord Copper...
Lord Copper must never know.
Yes, but...
There is only one comfort. We haven't committed ourselves to which Boot we're welcoming on Thursday or where he's come from.
Ah, that's true. It just says to welcome the return of Boot of the Beast. Ah.
We've got to sign up this new Boot and any other Boot that may be going. And one of them has got to be welcomed home on Thursday.
Yes.
There is only one thing for it, Salter. You must go down to the country to see Boot. I'll settle with the others.
To the country?
Yes, tonight.
Do you think it's really necessary?
Either that or we must tell Lord Copper the truth.
Oh, anything rather than that. I mean, it was the beast that gave you your chance. You won't forget that, will you?
Of course not, no.
I've got a contract here, ready drawn, duplicate copies, a life contract for 2,000 a year. Will you sign?
Yes.
Good. Now, about the banquet. Your speech is being written for you. Quite short, quite simple. Just 5 minutes or so in praise of Lord Copper.
No, I'm not coming.
The banquet will be widely reported. There may even be a film made of it.
No.
But really, Boot, I can't understand you at all.
Well, I should feel an ass.
It's only for one evening.
I've felt an ass for weeks. Ever since I went to London, I've been treated like an ass.
Yes, that's what we're paid for.
Well, it's one thing being an ass in Africa. But if I go to this banquet, they may learn about it down here at home and in the village.
No doubt they would. No doubt they are estimable people. But surely, my dear Boot, you'll admit that Lord Copper is a little more important.
No, not down here.
Ah, Salter. Have you got Boot?
He signed all right, but he won't come to the banquet. What about yours, the one there tonight?
I signed him up, but had to send him off to the Antarctic.
Oh?
He said he had to go abroad at once. Some woman is pursuing him.
What are we going to do? You know how much Lord Copper enjoys making a speech.
Hello, yes. Was that? No, really? Well, I don't know anything about him. Who is he? What's his name? No. That's splendid. Bring him up here at once. See? Sutter, my dear chap, we're safe.
How? What do you mean?
That was Gibbons. Apparently he's got an old man sitting in his office who's been sitting there telling him dirty stories for hours. Wants to be taken on in features.
That's well.
His name is Theodore Boot.
Oh,
we'll sign him up and he shall be welcomed at the banquet.
I shall always believe in miracles.
Uncle Theodore seems to be having a wonderful time in London. Is that Lush Places you're writing, William?
Yes.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It hasn't got to be finished before Tuesday.
May I see?
Well...
You needn't be afraid. I was really awfully sorry for what I did that time.
Oh, all right.
Read it to me.
Oh, well... The wagons lumber in the lane under their golden glory of harvested sheaves. Maternal rodents pilot their furry brood through the stubble.
Beautiful. Do go on.
You've been listening to Scoop by Evelyn Waugh, dramatized for radio by Lance Sieverking. John Rowe played William Boot. Corker was Nigel Anthony and Catchin Catherine Barker. Peter John played John Boot and the mysterious millionaire, Mr. Baldwin. Geoffrey Banks was Salter. Peter Wheeler was Eric Olafson. Rosalind Knight, Julia Stitch. And Ronald Herdman, Lord Copper. David Marlowe was the managing editor of The Beast. James Tomlinson, Theodore Boot. And Sally Gibson, his niece Priscilla. Christopher Godwin played Bannister. Paul Webster, Shumble. And Russell Dixon, Whelper. The play was produced and directed in Manchester by Tony Cliff.